Thank you for joining us for this sermon podcast from First Baptist Church at the Fields. I'm Dr. Brent Taylor, and we invite you to join us each week in worship. I am praying for you and trusting God will use this message to encourage your faith and strengthen your walk with Him. So imagine if we put a lie detector machine in the lobby today. Wouldn't that make church fun? I mean, come to church, people have to walk through it, you know, or maybe like you have, maybe it's a device you have to wear. I don't know. I haven't thought it through all that much. But wouldn't that be interesting? I mean, not for like the big lies, but like the small ones. You know, like, so what are some of the lies we might catch if you think about it? So probably the biggest one would be, hey, how are you doing? I'm doing great. That'd probably be the biggest one. Yeah, it starts beeping like that. We kind of use little lies like that all the time. I'm sorry, I didn't see your text. I'm so sorry about that. Or the, we got the church version of it as well, which is the, oh, I'll pray for you. And then we never think about it again. If you go to a Connect class, your lie may be, I'm only eating one donut today and that's it. I promise I'm going to stop after one donut. You know, if we had a lie detector at the door, that would be kind of a weird church to go to. It'd be kind of a weird experience for everybody. You know, lying is one of those things that we don't necessarily talk about a lot, but at the same time, it's kind of a big issue. We have come up with phrases that we use to make it more palatable to people. So instead of saying lying, which sounds kind of harsh, we use phrases like, you know, you're telling a half truth, or you're bending the truth, or you're telling a tale, or spinning a story, or you're misrepresenting the facts, or you're speaking with a forked tongue, or you're shading the truth, or you're fudging the numbers, you're putting a spin on it. There's lots of phrases that we use to try to make lying sound better than it is. The Bible even uses creative phrases when it talks about not being truthful. The Bible talks about bearing false witness. The Bible talks about speaking deceitfully. The Bible talks about walking in darkness or twisting what is right. We say it in a lot of different ways, but the result is basically the same. And no matter how you say it, we often fall into a form of or a type of bondage that comes with lying. So we continue our series, Freedom, and we're going to talk about today the freedom to speak life. Exodus 20 is where our passage is once again. We've been working our way through the Ten Commandments. We're in the final 2 weeks of the Ten Commandments. And while we're in those final 2 weeks, we're also getting ready for Easter. Easter is just a few weeks out, hard to believe. As Kashani talked about, it's a great time to take those cards that we're going to hand to you when you walk out the door and not put them on your refrigerator, but put them on somebody else's refrigerator. Get somebody else to feel like they're welcome and invited. It's a great time to be doing that. But we're wrapping up these Ten Commandments, and today we're on the Ninth Commandment. And the Ninth Commandment isn't just about courtroom lies. It's about every moment where our words hide or twist or shade the truth. Now, God wants to free us from that, because he wants us to be people who are people of truth and not people of lies. So I want us to look at the commandment. I want us to see the context of the commandment, because it's important. So chapter 20, verse 16, not a long verse, but a good one. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. All right, what does the Bible mean with that statement? Now, again, context matters, and there's a context to this. Remember, God has spoken these words to Moses. He's spoken these words that we have, that we call the Ten Commandments. And these Ten Commandments are very important because these are formulative, not only for God's people there in the time of Moses, but really for all of society. I mean, they form a framework for all of society. But the people in Moses' day especially lived in a culture where testimony is important. There was no closed circuit television. There were no speed cameras. There was no fingerprinting. There was no DNA samples. What you had were witnesses. And so a person's testimony in a court of law was very important. So important that false testimony could really take on a deep meaning. It could cost somebody their land or their reputation or their freedom, or in fact, their very life. Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 15 says, one witness is not enough to convict a man. A matter must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. Deuteronomy 17, 6 says, on the testimony of two or three witnesses, a man shall be put to death, but not on the testimony of only one witness. Okay, so testimony then was critical in a court of law, just like it is today. But you can understand why this would be so important, because we all know that if the courts are perverted through lying witnesses, well, then what kind of justice is there? I mean, what happens to truth in a court where people are filled with lies? So the context of this commandment is really pictured within a court of law. The command is not to give false testimony against your neighbor. All right, don't lie in a court of law. Don't lie about your neighbor. Don't give false testimony. But the spirit of the command is much deeper than just a courtroom. I mean, the heart of the issue is about truthfulness in all areas of your life. The letter of the law may read courtroom, but the spirit of the law is about being a person of truth. And so the context is really important to understand, because it's foundational to justice in our society, but it's more than just an issue for the legal system. I mean, the command is not just for the judiciary. The truth is critical for every part of the society that we live in. So let's talk about life or death for a moment. Life or death. So a few years ago, we had Gary Chapman here. Some of you know that name because he wrote a book that has sold literally a bajillion copies, and it's called The Five Love Languages. Some of you have read that book or have that book, seen the book, heard of it. The Five Love Languages. And he talks about these different ways that we express love. So I want to give you kind of a take on that a little bit. I want to give you the five lie languages, the five lie languages. So we list them here on the screen for you. There are bold lies. These are just the open, intentional, obvious kind of lies. Then you have bending lies. Bending lies are, you know, they're half truths. It's not exactly the truth. It's not fully a lie, just kind of half truth, shaded truth maybe. You also have the behind the back lies. And this is, you know, gossip, slander, accusations that you make. There are what you'd call beneficial lies. These are lies that are told for your convenience or your gain. It's for your benefit to lie about something. Then you have what you might call the broken identity lies. These are lies that we tell to make people think more about us than we really are, that we're better than we really are. It's a lie, but it's funny because it's a lie that inflates the truth. What we have to understand, though, about lies is that lies breed destruction. And there are all sorts of lies, far more than the ones we listed, that do that. But words create worlds. Words create worlds. Think of the opening of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And we see how he spoke into creation all of these things. So words literally for us created the world that we're in, but it's more than that. The words create worlds all the time. Think about authors of fiction or fantasy. They create worlds like Middle Earth or Narnia or Hogwarts. Words create worlds all the time in literature. Words also create atmospheres. So words that are used in marriage can make a heart warm or can make a heart cold. You can say something that cools things down, or you can speak words that brings instant heat. Think about fights that happen at sporting events. There are fights that happen at sporting events. You see, I'm not talking about the players on the field. I'm talking about people in the stands that are watching the football game or whatever. I mean, they get in fights. We see it on the news all the time. And it starts with words, probably beer and words. And it moves to what? It moves to fists. Words create atmospheres. Lies destroy worlds and they poison atmospheres. Truth brings life to both. And that's part of the reason this is so important. God is the author of truth. Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am the truth. So to be a Christ follower, to be a disciple, to be a child of God, we are called upon to act like our Father. We're called to be like the one we claim to follow, the Lord Jesus Christ, which means we're to be people of truth. We're to value truth. God values truth. We see that in the early church. In the early church, God demonstrates the importance of truth and the need for truth in that situation. Do you remember the story in Acts chapter 5? It's a couple named Ananias and Sapphira. They show up to church one day and they lie to everybody. And what happens? God strikes both of them dead. I mean, it's one of those passages you read, kind of gives you a little bit, you know, makes the hair on the back of your neck stand up a little bit. God demonstrated his seriousness about the early church and about truth. I'm not saying that if you lie, God's going to strike you dead. That was a specific story in a specific situation for a specific reason. But I am saying God takes truth seriously. And as believers, lying doesn't represent God well. It tries to punch at his reputation. Proverbs 12:22, the Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in men who are truthful. Lying is detestable to God because it's so against the character of who he is. We serve a God of truth, and you see that all throughout Scripture. And God's character is true. The theologian N.T. Wright said, truth is not just a concept. It's what God is and what God does. So God's word is true, God is true, and God desires you and I to be people of truth. Psalm 51:6, surely you desire truth in the inner parts. So God demands truth from his followers. The ancient church leader John Chrysostom said, a lie is never minor, for every lie is a step away from God, who is truth. And what we say speaks volumes of whether or not we're offering life or death. Lying has destroyed marriages, families, careers, politicians, businesses, research. I mean, the list goes on and on. Lying creates a sense of uncertainty and deception. And those are all battering rams that tear down the wall of trust. So truth has to be protected at all cost. I want to talk to you about the practices of a truth-telling people. The practices of a truth-telling people. So people today are always working on their credit score. So your credit score is your financial reputation. It tells a bank or a banker, based on your history, whether or not they ought to trust you, whether or not they ought to believe you, and that affects the kind of loans they're going to give you, the kind of interest rate they're going to give you. All of us have a reputation and not just a credit score. And that reputation is fragile, it's valuable, and in many ways it's irreplaceable. So your reputation is something that should be handled with care. It's something you should hold on to because it can be easily destroyed and it takes time to rebuild. And even if you do rebuild it, you never quite get to the same height as it once was. And so when you talk about a lie is going in and it's someone trying to snatch out of your hands your good name, your reputation. One false word can damage what took someone a lifetime to build. One false rumor can unravel somebody's future. So this commandment here is speaking of protecting against damaging others. And so it's something that we should take seriously. God commands, don't steal somebody else's story. Don't damage somebody else's name. And this isn't just a rule. It's a protection of something that's the fragile dignity of every person. And every person you see has been made in the image of God. So God calls us here to be a truth-telling people. So how can we do that best? Let me just give you a couple of ways that we can do that best. One, this is kind of simple, but it's true. Speak the truth. Speak the truth. Now, many people are really good at speaking the truth in anger and rage and hatred and resentment. And sometimes it's the desire to get even, get back at somebody. But God calls us to be people who speak the truth. The Bible tells us to speak the truth, to be honest with people. But to speak the truth how? In love. To speak with that honesty, to use that honesty that we're called to do, but to do so in love. A love that is concerned about the other person, even above protecting our own pride. Speaking the truth means speaking the whole truth. Not just the parts that are convenient. Sometimes truth-telling means saying things that are kind of hard to say. So last year at our staff retreat, a friend of mine, a good buddy of mine, Chris Segrist, he's a pastor over in Wiley, he came and spoke to our staff at our staff retreat. And he talked about the values that their staff has as an organization. And he said that one of the values that they hold very dear within their team is honesty. And not just honesty, but 100% honesty. And he said this, he said that most Christians are 98% honest with their coworkers. So when it comes time for evaluations, for example, you know, in a church, you know, doing evaluations, something like that, he said that most Christians are 98% honest. They tell the person almost everything. But there's that 2% that's just kind of hard to say. There's that 2% that's just kind of a hard thing to say. It's a tough thing to say. And he said oftentimes they won't say it, and yet that 2% in many ways is more important than the other 98%. And so the calling, I think, on our lives is to be honest and not to shade the facts, not to cut off things that are helpful for people that are hard to say, not to edit the truth, not to leave out that critical detail, a detail that might change how a person views their performance, how they're doing, like I told you in that story, or maybe how they view a situation or another person. Be honest. Speak the truth. Second, speak up when lies are spread. Speak up when lies are spread. Defend the absent person. Christians should be people who defend other people behind their backs and not just stand by when lies are being told. You can correct the record firmly and also gently. You don't have to be the loudest voice in the room, but you can bring clarity to a situation. You can correct where the error lies that's been told about somebody. Be willing to speak up when those kind of statements are being made, those lies are being spread. Refuse to be a silent witness. Leviticus chapter 5, verse 1 tells us that failing to speak up and to speak truth when needed is a sin. And so silence can become complicity. So what does that sound like? That sounds like, hey, I'm sorry, I can't be quiet about this because what you're saying is not right. I've got to set the record straight here. When you know it's not right, hey, be a person of truth and speak up. And when you speak up with courage, with calm, and compassion. Those are three great ingredients for speaking the truth. Not every lie deserves a fight, but many deserve a voice. Someone who will bring the voice of truth in a courageous way. When a lie is being spoken about somebody's character or their motives or their actions, silence can become participation in a way. So what does that sound like? Well, it sounds like saying something like, hey, actually, I'm not sure what you just said is accurate about that person. I'm not sure you know the whole story. And sometimes it takes great courage to say those words, especially for those of you who are students, young adults. Real courage is not going with the crowd, but speaking up to defend the honor of someone. And if nothing else, to redirect the conversation toward truth. And that can be done with calm and compassion. Never forgetting that the person that's being talked about and maybe even maligned was made in the image of God. If you want to be a person of truth, you've also got to fill your mind with truth. The book of Ephesians says that you used to live your life the way you wanted to live your life. And you filled your life, Paul says, with all kinds of impurity and lies, all sorts of things. He says, but now you know Christ. And not only do you know Christ, you have the mind of Christ. And so if you have the mind of Christ, you need to have a mind of truth. And in a world that is filled with lies, we have to marinate our brains in truth. Do you know what it's like when you marinate something? And like you take a piece of food and you marinate it. I mean, it's going to start tasting like whatever that marinade is made out of. I had a roommate in college who every day marinated, I think, in Polo cologne. Can still smell it. But when you marinate something, man, it just kind of takes over. So what we have to do is we have to marinate our lives and our brains in the Word of God. You have to have that mind of truth, and the way you have that mind of truth is spending time in the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 30, I have chosen the way of truth. I have set my heart on your laws. So what we're doing is we're saying, I'm going to set my heart on the laws of God, on the Word of God. Because what happens is the Word of God, the more you read it, the more it has the power to change your way of thinking. I've been trying to practice something in my life lately where I'm trying to do more of not just reading the Bible, but I'm really trying to focus in on a verse or a section of my Bible reading and really think about that. Really meditate on it. What does that mean? What is God's word saying there? And how do I live that out? How do I see that in my life? Or how do I not see that in my life? And so I want to focus my mind, set my mind on the Word of God. The Word has the power to change your way of thinking. But we have to meditate on it. We have to marinate in it. We have to think on it, set our heart on it. And friends, don't give up on something. Something's kind of gone passe in our world, and that is memorize God's word. Hide God's word in your heart, the Bible says. Memorize the Word of God. I'm not saying you got to read, you know, memorize the whole book of John. I'm not telling you to do that, although that's great. But put a Bible verse somewhere where you see it every day and work on it. Try to memorize that. Try to hide that word in your heart. Here's the next one. Don't live a lie. Don't live a lie. All right, we all know people. We all know people that their life, in a lot of ways, is just filled with lies. They're just the kind of person, they tell you something, and you're thinking to yourself, I don't know if I should even believe what you're saying. I don't even know if what you're saying, I don't know what is truth anymore with you, and so I don't even know if I should believe what you're saying. There may be somebody in the room today that's you. That if you're really honest, you struggle with the issue of not being able to tell the truth for whatever reason it is. And if that's you, then it recognize that's a problem. And it's okay to admit, hey, I struggle with this. I have a problem with this. Now, the danger is what most often happens is that a liar is going to lie to himself and try to make himself believe he's not a liar, which is a lie. And so you have to be honest. And if you're going to find help, a cure, a process for dealing with that lying, you have to be willing to admit, hey, this is, for whatever reason, this is something that I struggle with. It's kind of like the road to salvation. You have to admit that you are a sinner. That pathway to salvation comes that recognition, I am a sinner. We have to come to the recognition and the realization, hey, for whatever reason, I have a problem with the truth. And it may or may not be that you are a chronic liar, but you find yourself saying something, telling a lie. Maybe you've decided it's just a little white lie, as we say, to get out of a situation. Maybe you lie to try to get back at somebody who's made you angry. Hey, whatever the reason is, and wherever you find yourself on the spectrum of lies, on the lying spectrum, we just have to be truthful about it. We have to be truthful, hey, this is where I am. In addition to that, don't spread lies. Don't spread lies. Now, that seems like one that's kind of inherent throughout the whole message. But sometimes we become super spreaders. You haven't heard that word in like 6 years, have you? Sometimes we become super spreaders of false information. And that happens in a lot of ways, in a lot of arenas, gossip and all those kinds of things. But I got to tell you, one of the main arenas that probably most of us in the room are aware of and part of, but one of the main super spreaders of lies is social media. I mean, social media is filled with people saying all sorts of things. And you see that. We all see that. And you're not, your job is not necessarily to fix everybody else's problems, but we can look at our own lives and see, hey, am I being a super spreader of things that are not true, of things that are not verified? There's a lot of things I see out there on social media that Christians are promoting, and it's just based in zero fact. And oftentimes they're saying it because they want to get at somebody. Maybe it's somebody they don't agree with for whatever reason. That's not speaking the truth, but instead that's using technology to spread lies even farther than you can with your own lips. Sometimes it's done unwittingly. We end up saying something that turns out that wasn't true. But we need to be people kind of like Ronald Reagan used to say, you got to trust but verify. We see and we hear all the time people, we get frustrated with the media today. People get frustrated because the media is spreading fake news. I would contend that people spread more fake news than the media does. We have a tendency to say things that are not true. And as citizens, we should value and uphold truth. We should expect it from the media and other people, and we should demand it in our own lives, which means we've got to be careful and diligent in our research and deeply committed to not spreading lies. All right, so those are some practical ways that we can obey this command. But I want to close the message today, and I want us to take us back to the heart of the commandment. Because the heart of the commandment really is about justice. I mean, justice is really written into this commandment. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. The idea there is if you give false testimony, then you're going to be practicing an injustice. So I want to go back to that topic of justice for a moment. And I want us to see that this truth is very important. Because truth is written into this command. Did you see Superman? Yeah, he just kind of popped up, didn't he? As a kid, I was raised to believe in the Superman motto. Here it is. Truth, justice, and the American way. I had a t-shirt. And it had Superman on it, and it had that phrase. And it was an iron-on t-shirt. Y'all remember the old iron-on t-shirts we actually ironed on? For those of you who didn't know, you would buy these like little things, and your mom would like iron them onto your shirt, and then this part of your body would sweat like crazy every time you wore it, you know? All right, but I had a t-shirt with Superman on it who was teaching me about truth, justice, and the American way. And according to Superman, that's what brought freedom to all. But as we grew older, we realize that something more is being offered. You know, as believers, I think God calls on us to use our freedom for good. This series on the Ten Commandments has been called Freedom, and I think God calls us to use our freedom for good. This year, we're celebrating 250 years since the Declaration of Independence, the birth of our nation, and the freedoms afforded to us should be used by us in order to speak truth. To leverage the freedoms that God has given us to speak truth and to speak truth in a way that brings about justice. And we should be a people who care about justice. As Christians, we are called to advocate for those who don't share that freedom. We have the freedom to speak. There's a lot of places in the world where people who speak will be put to death. And we should represent them. We should speak up and speak out for those who are not free, to speak up for those who have no voice. We see in the news all the time, it's not in the mainline news, but you see all the time in Christian news about the persecution of Christians around the world and people who are being slaughtered in countries like Nigeria for their faith. And as Christians, we should speak up and speak out and advocate on behalf of those who are not free. You see, our lives are not to be like the devil. How is the devil described? The devil is described as what? An accuser. He's an accuser. We are called to be more like Jesus. And how is Jesus described? As our advocate. He's our advocate. He is speaking to the Father on behalf of you and me. So while we're here on this earth, we have a choice. Do you want to live in the world of the accusers? And I have to tell you, that pool is very crowded. Or do you want to be in the pool over here of the advocates, of the people who are speaking truth for those who have no hope? We should speak a message of hope that is found in Christ, and we should stand up for truth. Standing up for truth means not just those who are around the world who can't speak up, but we should speak up for the vulnerable, for what is Jesus called the least of these. We should speak up for the ignored and the attacked. Justice is not just about getting a verdict. It should be about getting the right verdict. And there are people who are falsely accused. And we should speak up and speak out against that. We speak out against evil regimes with oppressive tactics. And we should do that. We also, though, should speak up and speak out for those who are unable to speak for themselves. We should be a voice for the unborn. And friends, we live in a culture today that is trying to get you to believe, trying to tell you that a man is a woman, but a fetus is not a human. That is a lie we should not buy into. We should not embrace the lie that an unborn baby is not a human being. But we should speak truth. We should speak for justice, for the poor and the oppressed. We should speak out for religious liberty. This commandment is not just about lies that pervert a courtroom. It is about advocating for truth and justice. Lies bring conflict, destruction, and death. Truth brings light and life and peace. And I don't know about you, but I feel like we've got enough conflict, destruction, and death, and could use a lot more light and life and peace. But we need to understand, we're not the ones ourselves who bring that kind of freedom. That is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the way, understands lies and truth. When he was at the cross, false witnesses testified against him. They lied about him. Matthew 26:59. And Jesus knew they were lying. He knew what was in their heart. Yet he also becomes our advocate, speaking truth over their lives and our lives. And his grace sets us free from being people who have to live in the world of accusers and condemnation, but we are free to be advocates, to speak up and to speak out. We hear the command from God. It is confirmed in his word. It is confirmed through the Holy Spirit, and it is modeled for us by our Savior. And because Jesus is our advocate, we become advocates for others. Because Jesus is the truth, we become dealers in truth. We reject the lies, we reject the falsehoods of this world, and we speak up and we speak out in truth and in love. And in doing so, we represent our Savior well. This is God's commandment. Would you bow your head with me? If you have never experienced the truth of God that is found in Jesus Christ, I want to invite you today to experience that truth. I want you to know Jesus, who says that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Those three words are very important, but the next line is critically important. He says, no one comes to the Father except through him. If you have not come to the Father through Jesus Christ, that is believing in Jesus, believing that he died on the cross to pay the price for your sins, that he rose again on the third day to offer you eternal life. If you've never received him as your Lord and Savior, not just believed in the factual, historical Jesus, but received him as your Lord and Savior, I want to invite you today to give your life to Christ, to go to our Connect Room, this glassed-in room right across the hall, and give your life to Jesus Christ today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. God wants you to to experience the life that is found in Christ. And if you will go into that room, we will talk to you about how you can receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. You can know that your sin is forgiven, you've been made right with God, and that heaven is your home, your eternal home. If you do not know that, if you've never experienced that, then please do not walk out the door, but instead go to our Connect room and let us visit with you about receiving Christ as your Lord and Savior. That is the truth of the Word of God that's offered for you today. And I want to invite you to receive that in your life. Maybe today is a day of confession because you realize, hey, I realize that I'm living a lie. I'm saying things, I'm doing things that are not right. Maybe you've become a person that if you were honest, you'd say, hey, people don't believe me. And maybe today becomes a day of you know, conviction in your life and a day to say to God, God, I know this, help me. Help me as I seek to overcome this. I wanna live in your truth and I wanna be a person of truth. Maybe today God is speaking to some of you about being baptized. You've never been baptized. We baptized earlier today, and maybe God is speaking to you about taking that step of faith and being baptized. Maybe God's talking to some of you about joining our church, becoming a member of our family. If God is speaking to you about baptism or joining the church, hey, go to our Connect room. That's where you can schedule baptism. That's where you can talk to somebody about joining our church today. Somebody here may be sensing that God is calling them to ministry or to missions. Let us visit with you about that. Let us pray with you about that. And speaking of prayer, we have deacons who are there who want to pray for people. If you just have a prayer need in your life, you just say, hey, I need somebody to pray. I've got a job interview this week. I'm waiting on a report from the doctor. Whatever it may be, if you need prayer in your life, go to that Connect room and just say, hey, I need prayer. Let somebody pray over you today. Our church is not about perfect people. None of us are really good at that. We're just about people who are seeking to follow the Lord, to worship him in spirit and truth, as Jesus says, and to walk in his ways. And if you've come here today and you know you need God to do a work in your life, or you know that God is calling you, you just feel that tug in your heart, that's the Spirit of God pulling you, drawing you, hey, don't be afraid to walk into the Connect room. We had several people in there after the first service. Don't be afraid to go in there. Be more afraid of ignoring the voice of God in your life. But instead, say yes. Walk in that room, meet the great people who are in there, and just see what God can do in your life today. Would you quietly stand where you are as I lead us in a word of prayer? Thank you, God, for the truth of your word, how it speaks to us. It's a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, and it has so clearly lit up this pathway of truth. Lord, help us not to walk in the lies of the devil. Let us not be like the father of lies, as the devil is described. But Lord, let us be like Jesus, the truth. Let us speak truth. Let us love in truth. Let us demonstrate graciousness and compassion in truth. And Father, I pray that those who are here today who have never received Christ as Savior would experience the truth of eternal life this very day. God, I pray that you would work in people's hearts and do things that only you can do. And so, God, as we think about what you're wanting to do in our lives, give us the willingness and the spirit to step out by faith. And God, I pray that we would not be ashamed to make a decision today according to your will, to be baptized, to give our lives in ministry, missions, whatever it may be, God, help us to follow you. So, Lord, we're listening for your voice. We're walking in your truth. We're believing you today, knowing that you have what is best in store for us. Help us, Father, to love you more and to do what you're telling us to do. In Jesus' name.